right, the first order of business scheduled for 6 o'clock tonight was the, or is the, Charter Realty public hearing for the site plan. So if the representatives of Charter Realty would like to give their presentation to the public, and then after the presentation is complete, I'll have public comment in the order which appeared here on the sheet.
Karen Johnson. If you can't hear me in the back, just wave at me and I'll try to speak up a little bit. There's a lot of people here tonight and no microphone system, so I'll do my best. I'm with Charter Realty and Development. We're a shopping center development company located in Rybrook, New York. And we have been interested in the town of Cairo for a few years. We watched the process of the prior developer. Fortunately for us, it was not very successful. We believe we have a much better project for the town of Cairo. It involves, for this phase, a 40,000 square foot supermarket. We presented at first to you in February and showed you our overall plan, which was used as the basis of the secret review and neg deck determination by the planning board. But we've moved through that process, receiving a negative declaration in August. Also at the August meeting, the planning board determined that our application for phase one was complete and scheduled this hearing for this evening. So for tonight, just to be clear, we are only seeking approval for phase one, which is a 40,000 square foot supermarket. Rob Osterhout from Green Manning will go into more detail on the site plan in a moment. And we'll discuss traffic-related issues. But I just wanted to clarify specifically what it is that we're talking about this evening, what it is that we're seeking approvals for, and also just to give you kind of a brief chronology of where we have already been with the planning board. This is the first public hearing, but as I mentioned, we started the process in February with a sketch plan review. And that process involved the board making a determination of consistency with the comprehensive plan. And two major factors for consistency with the plan for this project are related to the desire for more job and retail growth, specifically and economic growth in general, and that there exists currently a lack of commercial development which impacts the tax base and makes it difficult for residents to find work locally. So this project, from a land use perspective, is consistent with the comprehensive plan, and in terms of an economic impact perspective of diversifying the tax base and creating job growth, is consistent with the goals of the town of Cairo that you've laid out in your comprehensive plan. We started the preliminary site plan process in March, and as I mentioned, have spent a good 6 months really going through and evaluating all of the impacts, potential impacts of this project. And we were pleased after an exhaustive process that the planning board did make a negative declaration on environmental impacts. As a result, really just focusing on this particular building, the associated parking and infrastructure that goes with it, and then at some future point we may have a phase two. We were hoping at this point to be able to share with you who our primary prospective tenant is. We're not able to do that as of this point. We're still in negotiations. However, they have been fairly involved in terms of input in the architecture and the site layout. So I don't anticipate that when we do announce that tenant that there will be much, if any, change at all to the layout that you've seen today. The process in the town of Cairo under the site law, site review law, is a preliminary process, preliminary site plan, approval by the planning board, then we come back, and then there's a final. So even though I believe we've really advanced the engineering to a significant degree in order to come up with a negative declaration, we're really at a preliminary site plan review phase. So there may be other aspects of the site plan that will be refined at a later date. We can go over our architecture. I might as well just do it all right now, and then we'll lead into some of the site plan issues. We did spend a fair amount of time as well as analyzing some of the environmental impacts of really coming to a consensus on architecture for this project. And we've identified for the phase one a specific design theme that would go along with the supermarket building. More along the Adirondack Catskill vernacular, perhaps consistent with the Bank of Greene County, which is obviously located right across M. Simons Road. There was a lot of support, I think, for that project in particular. And from my understanding, there's a lot of historical references to a train station that was in the town of Carroll for that design. So we picked up on some of those things, added some of our own features, and came up with primarily a clapboard exterior standing seam metal roof, stone bases along the facade, and then stone bases along the columns. What we tried to do, and this is also consistent with the town site law, we tried to break up the facade. It's not a terribly long building, approximately 245 feet, but we've broken up the facade so that you don't have just one long mass. You have breaks in that so that it appears to be smaller groupings of buildings rather than a large building. At this point, I think I'd like to turn it over to Rob and go into a little bit more of the detail on the site design and look at some of the surrounding access points and uses around the site to show how we are compatible with some of the existing uses, particularly the commercial uses that exist currently along 23B and along Route 32, and how we have laid out our access points and orientation of the site plan to tie into those.
Good evening. My name is Rob Osterhout with Creighton Manning Engineering. I'll try not to block the board here. Just give everybody a quick overview of the site location. Probably most people are familiar with it at this point. But here on the right side of my piece here, you'll see that we have State Route 23, County Route 23B coming off here, M. Simons Road coming off of 23B, as well as New York State Route 32 down here. So our parcel has frontage on three roads, one being county, one being town, one being state. We are proposing for phase one three access points for the project. Primary access point being off of County Route 23B here on the north end of the site. Secondary access being off of M. Simons here. And then the third access point being down on Route 32. What we have shown here on the plan is not only our site development, but we also did a traffic study as part of the project, evaluating what the anticipated traffic generation was going to be from the project, as well as future growth in the area. We applied those generation estimates to the existing data that we accumulated for the roads in the area, and it was determined that we were going to need to provide some off-site improvements in the form of a two-way left turn lane at the primary access point into the site. So what you see on this plan in this darker gray, I'm not sure if it's very obvious from the distance here, but basically from this point down to just off the intersection here are the limits of the off-site improvements with a turn lane provided, like I said, here at this access point. Minor improvements at the intersection with M. Simons Road to accommodate a new culvert at that crossing. When you come into the site, again, primary access here, we've got a main corridor that comes down to the corner of the store with parking laid out in the front of the site. We're looking at approximately 220 parking spaces for the project. We're talking about a 40,000 square foot approximately 40,000 square foot supermarket use. We have a drive-through shown on the south end of the building for a potential pharmacy use. And like I mentioned, we have the associated parking out front. Some of the other green space that you see on this plan encompasses areas for stormwater management and for on-site wastewater disposal. The utilities for the project are proposed to be private on-site utilities. Public utilities are located much further to the north, past the intersection of 23B and 32. So we're looking at on-site utilities with wastewater being accommodated over in this area and a well being accommodated off the rear portion of the supermarket. As far as traffic is concerned through the site, I think you can probably see the circulation patterns. Primary access being here allows for people to come in and circulate down through aisles here or come in and circulate through the aisles closer to the store along the front. Truck traffic would potentially come in off of this main access, circulate around the rear of the store to the loading dock at this location, pull up back into that loading dock, unload, leave the trailer for unloading, come back and pick up that trailer at a later date, whatever the case may be, depending on what the load is. Circulation out of the site would obviously be either back out through the primary access where we have two egress lanes, one for right turns, one for left turns, or out to M. Simons here, or out to 32. We have coordinated with the town highway superintendent. He's reviewed our plan and had a concern relative to truck traffic, as well as the town engineer having the same concern relative to truck traffic exiting the site, maybe possibly using M. Simons Road. I don't think that's something that's really going to happen from a practical standpoint, because I think the trucks are going to, you know, try and use the main routes just as a matter of practicality. However, we have agreed to provide some signage that restrict truck movements to take right turns out of the site on M. Simons Road, so that there is no truck traffic heading down through the residential portion of M. Simons Road further to the south. Let's see. As I mentioned, we have the parking out here. What we tried to do early in the process when we met with the planning board, there were concerns about screening the project from County Route 23B, from M. Simons Road, and from State Route 23. So you can see on the plan where we've got landscape islands around the perimeter of the parking. We've got landscaping shown around the perimeter of the drives. What we wound up doing was adding some landscape islands to the central portion of the parking lot to help screen some of the potential visual impacts. One item that we've added since our last plan submission, and this was a comment that was raised by the town engineer, Elliot Fishman at Santo Associates, there's a requirement in the site plan review law to provide, if parking is in the front yard, provide additional buffering and screening to the parking. So what we've done is we've complemented some of the landscaping on this rendering. We had these spruces and service berries provided along the front area here. However, this darker green that you see in between are junipers that we've added to add additional screening for the project. I'll talk a little bit about the drainage and the stormwater management for the project now. In general, the project site is being graded such that this portion of the site will grade off to this front area. There will be pre-treatment accommodated along the backside of these plantings, and then there's a dry pond situated between those plantings and the next row of plantings with a dry swale that outlets to the ditch line along M. Simons here and ultimately down to a wetland area down to the south end of the site here. The portion of the site back here from this point back is going to shed off to a dry swale back in this area, to a collection system here where it will then outlet underneath the road to a fairly large stormwater management area or primary stormwater management area for the project down in this area, again, to the south end of the site. That will ultimately discharge again to a swale that will then outlet to the wetlands. From there, both of those outlet points will enter, I don't know how visible it is, this blue is fairly light on here at my distance, so I can imagine from the back it's not very visible, but right along here is a wetland area, an Army Corps jurisdictional wetland, same thing here. Those wetlands eventually combine and cross M. Simons Road down here at an existing culvert. What we've done as part of the project is we've designed it such that the pre-development runoff patterns and conditions are not exceeded by the post-development conditions. So in other words, we've reduced the runoff from the existing conditions so that there's no negative impact as part of the project. So all of the discharge points that we're talking about, the flow to those discharge points is actually reduced as part of the project. Some of those are fairly substantial as well. You know, we've got some pretty good runoff that comes down the existing ditch line and crosses M. Simons here and enters the county and state system down along 23. We're able to reduce that significantly by reducing the tributary area. With that, we in our parking lot area, we do have our site lighting. We've got lighting identified throughout the parking lot area and along the access drives. There are also some building-mounted lights around the perimeter of the building. And from a public safety perspective, we also reached out to the fire chief who reviewed the plans and provided a letter to the board acknowledging that he was in receipt of the plans, had reviewed them, and had no concerns with the project as proposed. Erosion control and related to the stormwater management, we will be preparing, we have prepared a preliminary stormwater pollution prevention plan for the project in accordance with New York State requirements. At this time, it's in a preliminary form. As we progress through our design, we will be finalizing that into a form where it will be submitted to New York State DEC for approval and ultimately issuance of a what they call SPEDES permit, State Pollutant Discharge Elimination System permit for construction activity. With that, I think I've covered the bases that I wanted to cover. I know we want to try and open up the floor here so that there's adequate time for people to ask questions and for us to respond. I know Karen wanted to, did you want to touch on a little bit more, Karen, in closing? Yeah.
Thank you, Rob. We hope that was enough of a comprehensive overview without going into too much of an exhaustive detail of the efforts that we have taken over the last 6 months. But just in closing, this is an artist rendering which depicts the view of you're coming up into the site from 23B, looking left into the site. And we believe it creates an attractive gateway for the town entering the commercial district and then ultimately entering the town center. We believe that the project is a real positive for the town of Cairo because it doesn't require any town services. It's completely self-contained, on-site well and on-site septic that will be designed and built and maintained at our own cost, no impact to other town services, and a tremendous benefit in terms of potential tax revenue. We have estimated, as is required on the application form, estimated that the overall construction cost, and that's not including any change in land value, but the construction cost would be approximately $4.5 million added as an assessed value, from what I understand from the tax assessor, is based on construction cost. And so depending on what your mill rate is at any one time, it does add a significant amount of tax revenue to the community. So thank you, and we're here if there are any questions through the chairman.
Okay.
Can I just jump in a little bit before we open it up? Just a couple of quick points to sort of address maybe some other issues that the public may have from a legal standpoint. The first one is, actually there are two of them, both with respect to the negative declaration and the seeker review process, the environmental review process. In this case, because it is a more than, a multiple phase project, the planning board did review the entire project. Now, as far as the environmental impacts are concerned, as if it were a full build-out before the board at this time. So with respect to the stormwater runoff and the SWPPP, The negative declaration that the board made last month did take into account the full build-out if, in fact, it ever does come before the board, because if we didn't do that, we might have an issue with what's called segmentation, which is something that the environmental review regulations frown on. So we were mindful of that. Additionally, the board made the referral down to the county planning board under Section 239 of the General Municipal Law, and I believe we received the comments back from them.
Just approval.
Just an approval.
No comment.
No comment at all. All right. I guess that's all I had.
Okay. This is the time we're going to open up the hearing for public comment that anybody wants to speak. I have 9 people written down. I'm going to take them in order that they have on the list here. If after these 9 people have spoken, we have sufficient time, and anybody else wants to speak, raise your hand. I'll write down your name, and you'll have a chance to speak. Okay, so the first person who's up to speak now is Dot Rosenthal.
Hi. First, I'd like to thank you for your extensive project review. I don't really have any questions. What I have are a few comments. I have lived in this town most of my life, and I've seen it thrive, and I've seen it die. And it just seems that every time something wants to come into this town, something happens and it's gone. I am so in favor of this, because I just think that if this goes through, it will bring other businesses into the town. And as I think it was the lady said, that it's a beautiful gateway for the town. And I just don't know how we would not want this. It's going to bring jobs to the town. We definitely need them. And the tax base, I mean, now I think it's about 5% for commercial, and it would be so much better. And it would be a benefit to all of us. And thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Rosenthal. The next person on the list is
Mrs. Sue Hilgendorf.
Hi. I, too, would just like to thank Charter Realty and Development for giving us such a good overview. And I'd also just like to say, over the months, I have come to a number of the planning board meetings. I think that the Charter Realty and Development has really put out such a clear and understandable project for us. They've made it, they've worked so hard to meet the requirements, which of course is what they have to do, but they just have. They've been dotting their I's and crossing their T's right along, and I really appreciate that. And I also appreciate the opportunity to speak tonight. And I need my glasses. Where did I put them? That's what I bring my husband for. And I, too, don't really have questions. I just have a few comments, and actually Dot touched on a number of them, actually. But I think this project, first of all, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. If people were concerned with how it's going to look, and of course that's, I guess, a subjective view, but I think it's going to be a beautiful gateway. So I think that's number one. I think that they've addressed our concerns there. They've done what the planning board has asked and requested right along, and it's beautiful. And it will create a wonderful gateway into the retail area and then into town. So I think that really is a plus. I think just from hearing Karen and the others speak, and looking into, you know, if you Google or go on the website and know that Charter Realty and Development has a lot of experience in doing these kinds of developments, and particularly grocery stores as anchor stores. And I think they've shown that. I think it's been quite obvious. And I think it's time. It's time for Caro to say yes to something. It's time for us to grow. There's nothing wrong with competition. I was in a business all my life, in the resort business. We dealt with competition every day. That was part of it. That's life. And it also is excellent for the consumer, and it makes the business person stay on your toes. You got to keep things up. You have to do what the public wants. Competition is good. It's a good thing. And again, as Karen mentioned, the project is consistent with our Caro master plan. It says right in there, a desire for more job and retail growth, specifically. Well, here you go. And it also says there's a lack of commercial development, and that impacts the tax base. Again, this will address that, and it will broaden our tax base, just as Karen pointed out. I also, just in review, just this is how I feel that this what this project will do for this town. It will add jobs. It will increase tax revenue. It does not, as the planning board has said, have a negative environmental impact. It will increase shopping opportunities. It will add an attractive gateway. It is consistent with our master plan, and it does not require any investment on behalf of the Carroll taxpayers. What more can Carroll ask? It's time. It's time for us to say yes to growth and something positive coming to town. Thank you again for the opportunity.
Thank you, Mrs. Hilgendorf. The next speaker is Carol Spoler.
I've been a permanent resident of Carroll for 55 years. I, too, was also in the resort business. We also had a tax business. And competition is your best thing to deal with because it keeps you on your toes, as Sue so said, and we know very well. I think it gives the people of Carroll a chance to broaden their horizons where they can spread out, they can shop and do what they want. Our main street is on the decline. You know that. We've tried everything with the Chamber. I'm also a member of the Chamber of Commerce. We've tried so hard to try to get Main Street back on the map, so to speak. It'll never come back to what it was. But I said this is a chance to broaden our horizons here. It's a gateway into the town. Like she said, it's revenue for the town. It's also giving employment to a lot of people. My main concern is that, like, when they do start to build, that I would hope that some of our local contractors, you know, would be able to be put to work as well. And I just don't understand the one with Simons Road. Is that going to be the major, a major in?
If you would, any questions you have directed okay, to them, right, and they'll answer for you.
But I think they've done a spectacular job in presenting this because we've had so much defeat with the previous one that we had. There were people that were in organizations that nobody really knew what was going on, and they defeated the people, Mr. Maggio, that was, you know, proposing this. This is so positive, and I was hoping that the planning board would see to it that we do have some more progress in Carroll. We need it.
Do you want them to address the question you had about the major?
No, I just wasn't. I'm trying to put in perspective Simons Road.
This is the Bank of Greene County, and then they have two access points. This is their primary, it's their only entrance and exit. It's a one-way in, one-way out. We are proposing an access off of M. Simons Road, but anticipate that this off of 23B will be the primary access point.
Okay, because I said Simons Road is more or less a very small road.
It is.
And it's very residential.
It is. And this, the turn off of 23B to M. Simons Road, although it is there, it's primarily there for local traffic that would be coming in off of the back of M. Simon and wanting to enter the site without having to make a left turn out onto 23B and then another left turn into the site.
But I think you guys have done a fantastic job.
Thank you, Mrs. Spoler. The next speaker is Mr. Joe Varelli.
Yes, I would just like to say it looks great, and we do need the business. I am a business owner in Carroll also, and looks good to me. Hope it goes well for you guys.
Thank you, Mr. Varelli. Mr. Andrew Gilchrist. Mr. Gilchrist?
Yes, thank you. As the board's aware, I'm an attorney in Albany with Dzinski, Cavalier, Gilchrist, and Calora. We do represent Cairo Plaza in Ellsworth Slater, and we thank the board for the opportunity to submit some comments. We had previously submitted comments during the seeker process that was my understanding were initially rejected, but ultimately reviewed, and I do thank the board for doing that in conjunction with the seeker process. We've gone through the application documents and do have a few comments under your site plan review standards and are going to focus our comments on that tonight. With us tonight is Mark Millsbaugh, a professional engineer with Sterling Environmental Engineering, PC, who will further address some of the comments that I raised tonight. Under the site plan review law, on your review criteria is in Section E. I'll simply use the numbers for this, but under item number 7 of your review criteria, it does require the planning board to analyze the water supply proposal in conjunction with any site plan. And we note here that the only information that has been done to date for this site in terms of the groundwater supply has been a letter report by Hansen Van Vliet, which I would characterize as basically a literature search. I think the board will acknowledge that there has not yet been any on-site groundwater investigation for the proposed water supply for this plaza. We've read the review documents. There are a total of 5 proposed wells that are in the plan. And as your review criteria for the site plan requires, you do need to review the adequacy of the water supply for this project prior to any final action. Now, I understand that we're at the preliminary stage, but certainly before any final action is taken on the site plan, additional groundwater data is going to be required. I'll note that the planning board's review engineer, Elliot Fishman, also identified this fact in his most recent review correspondence dated August 20th at comment 13B. He does reference the need for on-site data to analyze the water supply for the project. Similarly, under item 7 of your review criteria is wastewater. This also requires your reviewing engineer to review and approve of the wastewater design. In Mr. Fishman's most recent correspondence of August 20th, he does note that it is unclear whether New York State DEC or New York State DOH will be reviewing the proposed wastewater plan for this project. He does note that it is not clear whether either state agency will do a detailed review, recommends that this board require the state agencies to do that detailed review. I would add that your site plan review criteria requires your review engineer to review and approve the wastewater plan prior to final action, and we would hope that the board does require Mr. Fishman to undertake that. Equally with stormwater, this is item number 6 under your review criteria. It does require your consulting engineer to review and approve the stormwater plan, the drainage plan for the project. It is noted that this is under DEC's jurisdiction and a stormwater pollution prevention plan will be prepared. But likewise, it's unclear whether DEC will undertake a detailed review. Your site plan review criteria require Mr. Fishman to do that. So that should be fully developed and reviewed as well. Mr. Fishman did note, as the applicant did tonight, the screening requirement from the public road in the event parking is in front of the proposed structure. I think that adequacy of the buffer does need to be addressed by Mr. Fishman as well. Now, it was noted that the application documents that go on to your local fire department for review and comment. We've reviewed that letter. It does appear that the fire department has reviewed the site plan in terms of structure adequacy. But what's lacking in that, we think, is any analysis of whether there is adequate groundwater and the need for, if there is a need for emergency response under a worst-case scenario for a structure fire here. That was completely lacking. We think the board should go back to the fire department to determine whether there's adequate water to handle a fire at this location. Now, your review criteria at item 12 also requires you to take a look at environmentally sensitive areas. Now, on this project, there are, and it was noted by the applicant, wetlands under the jurisdiction of the Army Corps of Engineers. This board does know that there are restrictive covenants in the title to this property that were imposed by the Army Corps of Engineers. It does restrict any impact to those wetlands. The Army Corps will need to address a request to modify those restrictive covenants. The record thus far does not appear that that has been completed. We think the board does need to make sure that the Army Corps reviews this and responds prior to any final action on the application. Item number 13 under your review criteria is the issue of noise. Now, as this board is aware, I've reviewed the noise criteria in conjunction with a few projects. I know the town does take the legal position that as long as there is not a nuisance created, defined as 70 decibels at the property line, that noise is not an issue. I submit to you that under the review criteria at item 13, there is the need to do an analysis of ambient noise conditions at this location. That has not been done on this record, and we think that that does need to be done.
This is ridiculous.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now, the visual assessment that's been done for this project that was put up on the board does have a view perspective from Route 23B. In the visual assessment that is in the record, there is an additional photo simulation from 23B, which actually appears to be from the shoulder of Route 23B rather than from an elevation, which I think that large photo shows tonight. And what it does show is while the building does not come above the ridgeline of the Catskills, all the light poles do. And I think the board should take a close look at that issue of impacting the ridgeline. Your site plan review criteria prohibits any structures, any buildings, from going over the ridgeline. Here the building does not, but all the light poles do. That does impact the view shed from 23B. And I'm going to let Mr. Millspaugh now further address some of these more technical issues, and thank you for your for the opportunity to comment.
Okay. Mr. Mark Millspaugh?
Yes.
Okay.
Mark Millspaugh with Sterling Environmental Engineering in Albany. I just wanted to supplement what Mr. Gilchrist said by pointing out that the project relies on, in terms of stormwater management and the management of wastewater, relies on the use of general permits, which is normal for this type of project. And I think the applicant overall has done a good job, and the materials that I was asked to review are very thorough, especially with respect to these aspects of the project. So my comments are more directed to the board I don't think in this climate you can rely on DEC to review these submissions. They're general permits. These are cookie-cutter permits. You assert coverage under the permit by saying you will design and build your system in the prescribed manner. You can't rely on the DEC to review that to verify that that's what's happened. I would have every expectation that the applicant has followed the published guidance and is using best engineering practices as set forth in the guidance document, but there won't be any substantive review at the DEC. The DEC is being decimated right now by early retirements. You all know the condition of the state budget. So if there's going to be any review of the engineering that goes into these stormwater management facilities and the sanitary wastewater systems, it's going to happen locally through this board's efforts. Andy mentioned that there's the wetland restrictive covenant on the property. When the project goes to the Corps of Engineers and goes through the permitting process and finds out whether or not the Corps will rescind these restricted covenants and allow them to be modified, the way that the property is laid out, it's like a jigsaw puzzle. The stormwater management system, the sanitary system, the parking lots, the roadways, the buildings, and the wetlands all have to fit together. And there's prescribed setbacks on a number of these things, especially between the potable water supply wells and the wastewater treatment system. At this point, it's not certain where the water supply wells are going to go, and I'm just pointing out in terms of the layout of the property, if any one of these things gets tripped up in subsequent review beyond this board, perhaps by the Corps of Engineers, the jigsaw puzzle has to get reassembled to make everything fit. And that's something that, again, comes back to this board and your engineer reviewing and making sure that, for example, if the Corps of Engineers limits the use of wetlands on the property and everything needs to move around, that the engineering is adjusted to accommodate for all of that. Lastly, on the issue of noise, the the standard that applies in the DEC's published guidance on doing noise assessments is if there's an increase over the ambient condition on the order of 6 decibels. The study that was submitted didn't have any actual measurements in it. It used published literature and projected noise from various assumed sources on the property to receptor locations. But I would just point out that the way that New York State DEC interprets noise impacts and a determination of whether or not the impact is significant, it's defined as a 6 decibel increase over the ambient condition. And that doesn't mean that there's a problem with the project. It just means that perhaps the project has to include additional elements to keep the off-site increase in noise below 6 decibels, either more vegetation or rearranging the on-site noise-generating equipment or moving roadways away from sensitive receptors. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Ellsworth Slater.
Thank you. Actually, I had one question for the board. Do you have, did the developers send certified receipt to all the neighboring properties for the meeting time? Because
no.
I understand some people didn't get notified.
No, the developer did not do that.
It is not supposed to be done?
It is not the developer's responsibility to do that. It is the board's responsibility to do that.
Well, I know people that did not get notified that should have been notified either.
It is the board's responsibility to send out the legal notices. If you have adjoining property owners who were not notified, I'd appreciate it if you provide me with the names of those adjoining property owners, and I will check
right here
to see whether or not they received notification. And your name is, sir?
My name is Mark Maroney.
Mark?
Maroney, M-A-R-O-N-E-Y.
M-A-R-O-N-E-Y. And your address, sir?
52 M. Simons Road.
M. Simon?
Yes, sir.
And your property
is an adjoining property to?
No, my property is on the road. That's
no, your property is an adjoining property to the project site. Does your property adjoin the project site?
My property is in that map right there, if that's what you mean.
No, I don't. We're having a communication problem. Show me, can you show me on the map where your property is?
It doesn't touch their property line, no. But I mean, in other words, without tempering the enthusiasm of the crowd in the room, what I'm asking is that for a good neighbor, it would be nice to be known if there was a meeting.
If your property is not an adjoining property,
you would not have received a notification.
I'm right here. So, my definition of the law, it's pretty close.
You don't have a mutual property line.
You would not be notified.
You wouldn't be notified.
People on the other road would not be notified. Is that correct?
People who do not join the project site would not be notified.
I requested that you guys review how that is written because I understood that his property is directly across Simmons Road.
That
would require that.
As I sit here right now, I cannot tell you the identity of the people who were notified, okay? I will review the notifications and we'll see if everybody was properly notified. If not, then we will have to have another public hearing on the matter. With additional notification. I mean, that's, you know, but I'll take a look at it and see if everybody who was notified, and I'll confer with our attorney to see if everybody who should have been notified was properly notified.
I know when I built the Smart Stop, I had to notify the people on the other side of the road, not just people adjoining my property.
Okay.
So if I had to do it, I'm assuming everybody else had.
All I can say is I'll look at to see who was notified, and if we didn't notify people properly, we'll schedule another public hearing and we'll re-notify them.
Okay, I'll just want to bring it up and make sure we look at it. Okay, also just for note, and you probably nobody knows this, but when I bought the property, Great American Property, Carol Plaza, I had to do a phase one, phase two, and a phase three, and remove all the tanks and to make sure the things were contaminated from the previous gas station was there and some other things that were there, the previous use. Anyway, during that process, I had two wells on the property, and the one well was contaminated with MTBE, which is an additive to gasoline. It's not coming from my property, because that was long before they put this additive in gasoline. They never decided where it came from, but that is in the groundwater, and from what I understand, according to all the reports I have and all the engineers I spoke to, the water goes that way toward this project. So you have to not only make sure they have 50 gallons per minute that they're required, but it's also going to be usable water. And I think that's something that definitely should be looked into, because all that contamination is going that way someplace. Okay. And thank you for your time.
What is it called? MTBE?
There was another chemical also, but off the top of my head, I don't know what it is.
And it's an additive to gasoline, or was an additive to gasoline?
It still is.
It still is.
No, it was. It was. And there's also another chemical, and I don't recall what it is, but I
can
like
that. Okay. Mr. Warren.
James Warren. Thank you, Mr. Mike. I'm with National Bank of Coxsackie. We're directly across the street, Route 23B, from this project. I guess I don't have to point out the building. It's notorious, so we won't discuss the architectural merits of this project. But I would like to say that the bank is, if anyone's affected, we're affected. We have no problem with the project. We're in favor of the project. I think it will be a good project for Caro. I think the planning board has addressed and is addressing the relevant site plan review issues, such as traffic, stormwater runoff, sewage water, and those types of things. One point, though, that Mr. Gilchrist mentioned, the lighting. If the poles are, in fact, visually extending above the ridge line of the Catskill Escarpment, perhaps that should be addressed. I'm not sure if that's the case, but really, I think everyone in that room, if you live in Caro, you've got to appreciate a view, and that's one of the best views in the county. So I would like to see it barred with light poles. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Mr. Peter Rickey.
Good evening. My name is Peter Rickey. I'm a lifelong resident of Caro, 56 years, but who's counting? My father owned an insurance agency up the street and was part owner of the First National Bank of Caro, which is now Bank of America. Upon his death, my mother ran the agency for another 15 years and was the first woman appointed to a local advisory board for a local bank. My uncle owned the gas station on the corner, which is now the Getty Station. My aunt was a school nurse for over 20 years. My other uncle was the postmaster of Caro when the quote-unquote new post office was built. His name is on the brass plaque on the wall. After graduating from college, I was a teacher for several years in the Albany area, and I've spent the last 32 years of my life in the insurance business in the Caro and Greene County area. The last 20 of which, together with my wife Jane and I, have written commercial accounts across New York State and Massachusetts. In my business, I see firsthand the impact of various types of development on the receipts, payrolls, and employment opportunities of various small businesses. As a resident, I'm proud to have served as an officer and board member of several local nonprofit organizations, including the Catskill Mountain Housing Development Corporation and the Greene County Resort Association. I have participated in the planning, building, and the running of several housing projects, loan and grant programs, as well as lobbying state and local government entities. My point here is that I have a lot of skin in the game. My business can be located anywhere within 700 miles of here. I stay here because of the beauty, history, and the roots that I have. I care about what happens here. Caro has a plan called, appropriately, the Caro Comprehensive Plan, and I'm glad the developers and others have addressed it. This was developed through many open public meetings with Caro residents and voted and approved by a previous town board. This is the official roadmap for the development of Caro. While this document is not in and of itself law, lawsuits have been brought and won over violating the tenets of such plans. Part of the Caro Comprehensive Plan is a document called, interestingly enough, Implementing the Caro Comprehensive Plan. More recently, the Greene County Planning Department commissioned a study by MJB Consulting called, quote unquote, Town of Cairo Main Street Strategy. Unfortunately, while we've nicked and pecked away at some of these things, very little has been done overall in implementing any of these plans and studies, including the one that gives any of them any teeth, zoning. And I say that with respect. I realize all the work that the zoning board has done, but we still do not have zoning that would steer people or businesses, projects such as this, to specific areas. We are still at the beginning of finding our way as a town in the new world. We should not approve any major projects until our planning process and the accompanying zoning laws and regulations are in place. Having no plan is a plan for disaster. I'd like to quote from the Cairo Comprehensive Plan, page 9, strengths, number 18, in quotes. This is an exact quote, healthy local supermarket. Page 21, I quote, Cairo will take advantage and encourage the development of new business from the Great American to the Fountain. And I realize there's an overlay, however, that's still in the plan. Quote, economic development activities on Main Street should be considered a priority and commercial areas elsewhere should be linked physically and economically, unquote. Page 24, number 6, quote, work to maintain and enhance existing business first. Attention should be paid not only to attracting new business, but also strengthening existing businesses, end quote. Number 7, quote, recruit new businesses to help strengthen the economic base by filling gaps in the existing business mix, not duplicate existing sales and businesses, that a diverse retail and service climate be developed, unquote. While these are quotes out of context from the plan, I believe that anyone who takes the time and the care to read the plan cover to cover will find they illustrate the overall spirit and intent of the Cairo Comprehensive Plan. Putting a major retail operation as proposed so far away from the core of Main Street will kill any hope of a revitalization of Main Street Cairo. Planners project future retail development will proceed down routes 23 and 32, leaving the core of Main Street to deteriorate. There are a few glimmers of hope in Main Street Cairo with respect to revitalizing Main Street. This project makes this possibility an impossibility. This project, as well as any future project of this size at this site, is a decisive, future-altering moment for the town of Cairo. In surveying Main Street Cairo from the Great American to the Y intersection at the other end of town, there are 25 vacant storefronts, three others that have been converted to residential use, and four I can't tell what they are. In Catskill, there are 18 on Main Street. There are 18 vacant storefronts, from the Rip Van Winkle carving to the post office at the other end of the street, with four I cannot discern, and from personal knowledge, 3 to 4 more possible vacancies in the near future. Catskill has several side streets with retail I did not survey in the instance of staying with Main Streets. So much for the revitalization of Main Street Catskill, and that placing retail outside the core Main Street area has no effect. With respect to the specifics of this project, the developer has projected that this will cause a reduction of 25% in sales from Slater's Great American, and that Cairo can support 2 grocery stores. Absolutely ludicrous. The national average profit margin for grocery stores is 1.5% to 2%. This does not leave much room for error against fixed costs. It does not also reflect my experience. One of my sales niches is independent grocery stores in small villages and towns across the state. The typical scenario is a regional or national chain moves into a new store on the edge of town, usually as an anchor or one of several anchors of a new strip mall. Underprices the independent until he's out of business. I have lost over a dozen accounts in this fashion over the last several years. The strip mall, incidentally, also kills the core Main Street area of the town or village as well. Don't take my word for it. Take a drive, see for yourself. My most recent example was in the village of Delhi, Delhi meaning up the mountain, where a regional supermarket moved in and did exactly as I outlined. Delhi, a college town, has about the same population as Cairo if you include the college student population, which spend a lot of money. It is over 20 miles, actually closer to 30 miles, to another grocery store. If any place could support two stores, Delhi should have, and it did not. The scenario was exactly as I outlined. In Cairo, it's only 9 miles or 10 or 15 minutes drive in Cairo to Cairo to get to another chain store. What are Slater's chances? What will move in, more importantly, what will move into the great American space is another question. I do consulting for a large real estate group in the Albany area. Part of what they do is find store and office locations for national and regional entities. Incidentally, the friend of mine who is my contact is a lawyer, and he was the third generation owner of a resort in Greene County, which he sold. All larger retail or office or service entities have specific population density and demographic requirements. And developers love to tell you about Outback and all the other playthings that are going to move in here. Cairo does not fit the Outback steakhouse demographic. And if any, and it's only marginal, it fits the dollar store demographic. And just as an aside, our average annual income is over $10,000 less than rural Delhi. What will move in, if anything? I would also say, as a taxpayer, I'm very disappointed in our town government. It appears that our town will do anything to get anything built, a sure recipe for disaster. The planning board has workgroup sessions with developers present, which makes them planning board sessions. These should be advertised as planning board sessions, and they should also make that accommodation for others planning project as well. Not to do so is misleading to the public. The proposed project plans to drill 5 water wells, as Mr. Gilchrist outlined, as well as other things, to obtain 50 gallon per minute of water flow. Engineers hired by the town itself have recommended drawdown tests for nearby wells to see the effect this has on existing water supply, yet the town has not mandated these tests from the developer. Again, one of many things. This is reminiscent of our sewer, with build now, ask questions later, with a good chance of the same result. What's the hurry? Let's finish formulating our plans and laws as a town and follow the proper procedures when evaluating proposed projects. Town officials should be advocates for the taxpayers and, as such, the highest critics of any and all proposed projects. Developers need to meet our requirements. This will ensure Cairo does not end up like so many other towns and villages I visit across the states. It will also save taxpayers money from lawsuits and also from shoddy, poorly planned projects. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rickey. Okay. That's the last speaker on my paper here. Now, does anybody else wish to speak? I'm sorry, sir. I'm going to write your name down on the paper.
My name is Mark Maroney. I'll be short because I'm not on the list there. Thank you.
I'm writing it down.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you for accommodating me, Mr. Benoit, and the rest of the board and others in the room here. Just my only chip in the game is that I working in New York City and coming up here, I could have put my stakes down in any town. I put it in Cairo. I love Cairo too, just like everybody in this room. We all love Cairo. There's no doubt about that. I just implore the board and the folks that are involved with this project to just I am a neighbor there. I am on M. Simons Road. And I get a little nervous when I hear about the 5 wells. I would just like a little better communication to me, because I want the town to responsibly grow too. And my wife and I are planning a 5K run in October on 10-10, the first one in town. I have 2 boys in this town, and I love this place. I love this whole area. I just need a little better communication. I don't want to read in the papers that they're going to drill 5 wells. And that's not an indictment on anybody up on this table here or these. I don't even know these folks here. Just if the communication could be a little better, selfishly, because I'm on that road. Unlike 80% of the people in this room, I literally live on that road there, and I would just like to be part of the process. That's all. A healthy part of the process.
Okay, so
for whatever that's worth.
Thank you.
Okay.
My name is Art Zave.
I'm sorry. How do you spell your last name?
Z-E-H. I was born and raised here in Main Street. 59 years I've lived here, seen the town go up and down, and while I've traveled the world. I have a couple of engineering questions. My main concern is this traffic impact study that you've done. I don't know if it's been based upon the full build-out of the project. I'm concerned about the existing speed limits on 23B and the existing speed limit on 32 with your primary access. Your secondary access on Simons Road could be a one-way, possibly, so that you don't have, you only have serving the people on Simons Road to get into the shopping center. But I'm concerned about the line of sight distance on 23B, where the speed limit is excessive already to turn into the Green County Bank. And on 32, the traffic sometimes is 60 miles an hour there. And I always hear the fire siren going off because the fire trucks going out there respond to accidents. So you haven't shown what the future expansion is would be on this. And the question is, was a traffic impact study based upon the full build out, which you got a negative review from the town board, or was it only built on based upon shopping center? Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for your comments, Mr. Zay. I'd like to address your concerns relative to traffic. I was giving a general overview as I started my presentation. I'll give you a little more detail here. And I also have Ken Worsted from our office, who is a traffic engineer who actually prepared the report. I'll give you a little bit more detail if we need to get into more. Ken can certainly address any further concerns. But to answer your first question about the full build-out, yes, the traffic study did incorporate the full build-out of the site relative to the supermarket and any future development that was proposed as part of the overall plan, which included additional retail space and some pad sites. As far as your concerns relative to the speed limit on 23B, we did look at the running speeds on 23B and check those with our site distance evaluation to make sure that we weren't going to have issues there. The town engineer, Mr. Fishman from Santo Associates, in conjunction with Crawford Associates, was very critical of those concerns. So we had to take a very hard look at those issues. Relative to the speeds on Route 32, again, we did look at that access point as part of our traffic study. We did evaluate the traffic volumes there as part of the study. We evaluated the location of our access point. We've coordinated with the town, with the county, and with New York State DOT relative to our access points. So all of those agencies have had an opportunity to review and provide feedback on the layout to date. And we have received feedback from all of those agencies. So you know, rest assured that we are looking at traffic and have looked at traffic very thoroughly. Like I said, that was a major concern of the town engineers and the planning board. So you know, we've spent a lot of time looking at the traffic. Ken has spent a lot of time addressing those concerns, revisiting the site, taking additional traffic counts and site distance measurements to address those concerns.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Your name, please?
Helen Lee.
Ellen Lee?
Yeah, Lee, L-E-E, yeah. I was a retailer on Main Street for almost 35 years. When I first got there, we had a lot of resorts in the area. And the little stores on Main Street more or less depended upon the resorts in the summertime to carry us through the winter. Well, gradually, a lot of the resorts closed. So it left us on Main Street with not that much business anymore. And I can see why no one is opening anything on Main Street, because the retailing on Main Street is gone. So we've got to go further out now and let the supermarket come in and go on with it. I mean, you can't keep saying Main Street. They talked about some of the things on coming on Main Street. I think maybe restaurants or something else, maybe some retail could manage, but we just, you know, we just couldn't hold on any longer. And one by one, we closed. So I think it's about time now that we look ahead and look further up the road and develop something else. And maybe Main Street will come alive with the new library coming in and stuff. Maybe some businesses will come on Main Street. But I think we really need the supermarket down there, and I don't feel as you can keep saying, what are we going to do with Main Street? And also competition, the supermarket that's there now, put in a big gift shop at one time. And we were all little gift shops on Main Street. And we were hurt by this. But we didn't come to the board here and say, we need help or anything. We just took it in stride, went along our merry way.
Thank you, Mrs. Lee. Yes, sir, your name?
Yeah, Tyrone, T-Y-R-O-N-E, Lease, L-E-I-S. My Siena graduate. I'm a resident of this town for a number of years. My father owned and operated an airport and a campsite. And you look at the old pictures that I have in my album and how there used to be air shows and how there used to be things in this town. That's all been dead for the last 10 or 12 years.
No.
I mean, well, the majority. Okay, let me talk. All right? Now, like I said, I'm a college graduate. I've taken a number of business courses at Siena. And let me tell you, things will trickle down into the town. It's up to the crew to get behind this project first and then other projects later and have those trickle down into the town. Yep. Okay? Anyone who disagrees with this project is thinking of their own self-interest, and that's not only, and that's pathetic. Okay?
Over 36 years, and mine is a selfish concern, Tyrone. It is, I'll tell you that. I'm concerned about what recourse do I have if they drill 5 wells and I lose my water? What recourse do I have about stormwater? Light pollution. And I know you, Mr. Varelli, laughed about the noise. You only work there. I live
on the back. It's a
I know, but I don't know. I mean, sometimes I can hear the noise from the speedway at night. You know, it's just little things like that. That it is a selfish concern, but it is my concern. You know, I just traffic, security. Is there going to be fence? Is, you know, are the lights going to shine on my property? How close are they coming? So my concerns are more personal, but that is a concern of mine.
Thank you. Janet?
Well, I have a letter. Surprise, surprise. But I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to talk about it. But I made copies for everybody. I have two concerns. I'm not for the project. I'm not against the project. For my name?
Danny.
Not my name. Because they're about equal is the access from Route 32, because I do believe that's going to be the major delivery access. It's not a big road. There's going to be tractor trailers. There's going to be people accessing the plaza from Route 32, from Mountop down Silver Spur Road, and also all the points south on 32. So I just want to make sure that traffic impact has been looked at, plus the traffic impact on the road in the plaza itself. Again, there's going to be a proposed pad. There's going to be accessing from the pharmacy. There's going to be the deliveries back here, and plus you're going to have the customer traffic. So that's my one concern. My other concern is that everyone's talking about the front of the building. What's the back going to look like? Again, you're on 32. You can see over. You can't count on property that's not owned by the plaza to provide screening. I've heard several members of the planning board say, well, that what difference does it make? That's 32. That's the back. Well, it's also an entrance to the town. And the, whatever it is in the back has to be at least as nice as the front. That's part of the development. That's part of the cost. You know, you got to suck it up, guys. We can't have people coming down, entering the town on Route 32, looking at garbage, looking at a waste compactor, looking at deliveries, looking at a shipping dock or a delivery dock. That has to be screened and proper. And you know, when you're coming in and out of here, you can't be seeing what's there. It's an entrance. And those are my two concerns.
Which member of the planning board said that?
I don't really want to say in public. I'll be glad to...
You're referring to them. I want to know which particular...
Dan said it. No, Dan said it to me.
So, Your Honor, you think?
No, Dan said it to me, and I believe it was Ed.
Oh.
I'm good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Not you.
Sir, your name?
George Morrison. I grew up in this town basically all my life. I remember when Main Street was busy, we had three delicatessens, we had jewelry stores, we had everything. And I went to Korea. When I come back, it wasn't a great American. Andy Zimmer built that plaza. Main Street was gone. And it's always going to be gone. For one thing, there was no parking. There was nothing. There was a gas station in front of the Great American at that time. Probably people don't remember. So you can't hurt Main Street any more than it's hurt. So what's going to hurt to have another store in town?
Sir? Yes, ma'am. Your name?
Claudia Zucker. Caro Chamber President and a business owner in town. I would like to say for the 20th time, we are the center of the county. We have a great chance of being the focal point of traffic from the mountain, from the west, from the east, and for the weekenders. I'd like to also point out that right now, I think you can correct me, only about 5% of our income comes from commercial tax. Is that approximately 0.5? Maybe I misread it. This is not a pilot program. Am I correct about that? There's no tax breaks for this project whatsoever.
That's good.
No water and sewer. I think it's a great idea.
I would like to say that I'm really concerned about the light issue as well. They need, I think, you know, we don't want a Home Depot or a Bryant's where the light just spreads all over the whole county. They need to make sure that that's contained on the parking lot and not in the sky.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Thank you for allowing me. I did mention the groundwater issue earlier, and we don't take that issue lightly. We understand there's not public water extended to this project, nor public sewer, that it will be contained on site. But in order to make sure that that's a viable option, we need some site data. I hope when the board does require that site-based data to be collected and analyzed before final approval, you also take into account a hydrogeological study that the town itself undertook last year, the Groundwater Resources Study and Protection Plan for the town of Cairo. It has a lot of information in there. It deals with groundwater availability, groundwater quality issues. It deals with areas that are susceptible to surface water depletion when pumping groundwater. This is an area that's in very close proximity to one of the areas of concern noted in this report. And it does not only deal with quantity, but it does deal with quality. You heard an issue earlier about potential issues about surrounding land uses that could pose a potential risk to groundwater quality. This report addressed that issue as well. There's a lot of data in here. That does need to be reviewed by this board, certainly prior to final action on the application. And all we ask is that that record be complete so that we have a chance to review that. And in that vein, I know that under the site... trying to shut me down by cell phone. They'll do it any way they can. Under your site plan review law, while the public hearing on the preliminary plan, which is the stage that we're at, is mandatory, a public hearing on the final site plan is optional with the board. I would say for the record that in this case, given the amount of additional site technical data that still needs to be developed to complete the application, I think which your consulting engineer concurs with, the board should hold an additional public hearing on final to allow the public an opportunity to review that additional technical data and comment on it. So on this, I think an additional public hearing at the final stage is not only appropriate, it's necessary. Thank you.
Tomorrow.
Thank you. Go ahead.
May I? I'm listening to all of these comments about noise. I moved to Sandy Plains 51 years ago. There were three houses in my development. At that time, I had a point well, and I was sucking sand, so we decided to drill a well. Now, since then, I can't even count how many people have moved into that development, plus in back of me on Orchard Drive. I'm not lacking for water. We all have dishwashers, washing machines. We've raised families on this water. Noise level. How many motorcycles come through this town blaring away? Cars with mufflers. You go through the other shopping center, you're taking your life in your hands because there's no real traffic pattern, no matter how many arrows you can draw on the line. I think this is all poor excuses. I've lived out there for 51 years. I've seen traffic come. I have traffic coming in back of my house now. It doesn't bother me because I feel it's growth in the community. Those are all taxpayers. And I said, it hasn't deterred me from trying to move out of my development. I love it there. I'm going to stay in Carroll till the day I die. But I want some other options.
Anybody else? Yes, sir, your name?
Edward Mossman. First of all, I apologize. We were on the plan for tonight to go forward on our open business plan, but we're not prepared tonight, so we're already taking us off the agenda. But I want to speak on behalf of being a business owner in this town for a long, long time. We are one of the few resorts still surviving. Back when we built our golf course 20 years ago, not everybody else in the golf course business was upset that we were building. Competition was good for all of us. In doing that, we have now worked together as 8 golf courses in this county, which is the most golf courses in any county in the state of New York. And we've developed a plan to work together to bring more people into our area. We've done all this, we've learned how to work together and adapt and build off each other's businesses to go forward. We are now coming forward with another project that we're looking into, and we're still way in our preliminary stages. But we're trying to expand our own business because we're having a hard time making it in our economic states these days. It's very hard for our hometown to grow. Todd's on the agenda, he's got a thing he's trying to come forward with. It's about time some outside people want to invest money in this town, and we need to go forward. Yes, everybody has great concerns. Slater has great concerns. People have great concerns about the lighting. We need to work together, develop this project, and it will help all of us in the long run.
Okay, I also want to make a brief announcement here. Two things. First, because I'm not exactly sure, and a question was raised with respect to the proper notice being issued for this public hearing. When we adjourn tonight, the hearing will not be closed. It will remain open while we review the issue of whether the proper people were noticed. It will be continued again at our next regular board meeting in October, which is the first Wednesday in October. We will notice that again in the newspaper. If we have found that we did not properly notice the adjoining landowners, we will re-notice the landowners.
October 6th.
What's that?
October 6th.
October 6th. So the first Wednesday of October will be October 6th. This public hearing will be adjourned until at least that time. If any of you wish to submit written comment to the board or whatever, a letter, we will accept that from now at least through October 6th and possibly beyond that. If we close the meeting on October 6th, then we will accept written comment for an additional 10 days, which has been our policy. 10 days after the close of the public hearing, we will accept written comment. So if you want to expound on what you've given us, if you want to say something in writing that you are too embarrassed or afraid to say in person in front of a group of people, that's fine. We'll accept the public comment. So does anybody else now have, yes, Mr. Slater?
Yeah, I'd just like to say one other thing. Obviously, people know I have a vested interest in the grocery store coming to town. If I had my choice, no, I would not want a grocery store to come to town. But the questions that we're raising is not just about whether you're for or against it. It's saying the town should take a hard look at it, make sure it's done right. Just because you're doing it right does not mean the grocery store is not going to come. All the things that we brought out and the other people brought out here tonight just means these things should be looked at. And if they're all okay, then they build a grocery store. So self-serving, if I want to be self-serving, yeah, it would be better for me if they did not come. But it's
self-serving for our town to make sure that it is done right, followed our laws, and we all live happily ever after.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, so at this time, we're going to adjourn the public hearing for Charter Realty. Like I said, it's only adjourned. It will be picked up again at our regular meeting on October 6th at 7 o'clock. We'll start it not at 6 o'clock. We're not going to go an hour early. We'll start it at 7 o'clock. Okay.